One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say, and how do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told him, "do this and you will live." The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them up. Then he put him on his own donkey and took him to an inn, where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I come here." "Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits?" Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now you go do the same."
How cool is that? Great Bible reading. So kids, at the back there, we actually have some paper and texts. If you'd like to head back quickly and get that, I'd love you guys to draw your own pictures of this parable as we're talking today. And do you know what? This invitation is not just to our kids. If you guys, any of you teenagers or adults, find it easier to actually listen when you're doodling and drawing, go back and get some paper and some pencils or texts. I'd love you guys to draw pictures. Good work, Leon. If you'd like to draw some pictures today as well of the characters in our story. So the Good Samaritans, one of, I think, Jesus' most well-known parables. It's known by everyone. I think even the little kids here today have probably heard this story before. And even people outside the Christian faith know about this story. It's even creeped in, like the term Good Samaritans creeped into our everyday language, hasn't it? Like, for example, there I was, stuck in the aisle, in the checkout at Woolies, and my purse was left at home. And then a man came and paid for my toilet paper for me. What a good Samaritan. We sort of use that term all the time. So I was a little nervous when Riley asked me to share this passage with you, because I think we kind of go, "Oh, we've heard that before." So I'd like to actually just quickly start with prayer. King Jesus, please give us open ears to hear this story afresh today. And please give us soft hearts to respond to what you might be saying to us. Amen. Okay, so this part of the Gospel of Luke starts with Jesus having a discussion with an expert in the law. Now, this person in different translations, sometimes called a lawyer or a teacher of the law, but essentially who he was a temple priest. And when temple priests were off duty, not serving in the temple, they acted as community law experts. They'd go around and make sure everyone was doing what they were supposed to. There were so many laws and rules in the Jewish system, and they knew every single one of them. It's kind of like the COVID Marshal Pete Willis on steroids. So he has a question of Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And when he wasn't satisfied with the answer that Jesus gave him, he followed it up with, "Well, who exactly is my neighbour?" In the old Jewish Book of Wisdom, there's a bit of a rule saying that Jewish people only had to love people inside God's family. But sinners, or people who didn't follow the God of the Jews, were outside of that and were not considered neighbours. So the expert of the law was wanting Jesus to spell out clearly exactly who his neighbour was and who his neighbour was not. So he could then proudly say to Jesus and everyone else, well, I'm doing that. I am on my way to eternal life. But Jesus didn't answer the way he thought he would. Instead, he told a story. So the first two characters who walk past this beaten up and robbed man were a priest and a Levite. So priests were highly important members of Jewish society. Their role was to serve in the temple in Jerusalem. They would burn sacrifices that people would offer and do all the other important temple jobs. And Levites, also known as temple assistants, were sort of less important priests. And they would do all the other priestly, like temple activities, like manning the gates, cleaning the temple, and leading the worship. They're kind of like worship leaders. So to be a priest and a Levite, you had to be born into a priestly family. And you were trained up from when you were a child to know all the laws and to follow them. But Jesus says about each of these people who know God's laws, he said, when they saw the man, he passed by on the other side. That's all Jesus says about these guys. But the crowd who were listening, they knew all about priests and Levites. They may have even been priests or Levites. And so I think they would have been imagining what was going on inside those two people's heads. Like kind of like what we do when we hear stories, we like sort of fill in the details. So I wonder if the two passers-by had a bit of an internal conversation that went something like this. Oh, a man. Oh, he doesn't look good. Oh, is he a Jew? If he is, the law's pretty clear that I should help him. But what if he isn't? I mean, he's naked. I can't. How am I supposed to know what sort of person he is? Maybe he's a sinner. Maybe he doesn't follow God's laws. Maybe something happened to him because he was a sinner and God's punishing him. But if he is a Jew, I really should help. And where are the robbers who actually did this to him? Are they still hiding in the rocks and the caves? What about if they're watching and waiting for me to stop and help him, and then they're going to get me too? It's just not safe to help. But I should. But I mean, is he even alive? If he's dead, I definitely can't help him. If I touch a dead body, then I'm unclean, defiled in the eyes of God for a whole week. And I've just come back from the temple doing my jobs there. I'm all clean and holy. And isn't my temple work enough? But if he's not dead, I should help. But am I even going to be able to get him all the way to safety before he does die? Because if he does die while I'm carrying him, well, I'm definitely unclean, dragging a bleeding dead body through town. Is it even for me to do? And really, at the end of the day, do I care that much? And who will know if I don't? And so the temple priest and the temple assistant crossed to the other side of the road and walked on by. So for those of you who are drawing the characters in the story, I wonder what facial expressions you're giving the priest and the Levite. In the stories, you sort of see them with mean or proud expressions, but maybe you could draw them with a bit of a nervous look, or a questioning look, or maybe with sneaky eyes trying to get away with something. And for everyone, I wonder, Do you connect with any part of that little internal dialogue I just did? Does that sound like some of your internal conversations when it comes to helping in less than ideal circumstances? Fear for personal safety? Confusion on what the Bible says about a situation? Oh, look, it's really a grey area. Feeling like you've already been doing good, and maybe you can just let this one slide by. Or maybe you've been really busy doing ministry. Or maybe it's not really your role. Or maybe you really don't care quite that much. I know that kind of resonates with some of my thoughts sometimes. And then the third traveller comes along. In Jewish storytelling, they often had three people stories. And there was these three main characters. There was the priest, there was a Levite, and there was an ordinary Jew. So everyone in the crowd would have been expecting that. Priest comes along, yep. Levite comes along, yep. Ordinary. What? Jesus doesn't say an ordinary Jew. I bet there was at least one kid in that crowd who went, hey, that's not how the story goes. But Jesus mixes it up, doesn't he? He changes it to include not an ordinary Jew, but an enemy of the Jews. There was a bitter ethnic conflict between Jews and Samaritans. They've been going on for centuries since a bunch of Israelites had intermarried with the Samaritans. They took on their pagan beliefs and laws and customs while also keeping their Jewish God and laws and customs. So they made this really weird mash-up religion. And you just didn't do that if you were a true Jew. So the Jews hated them. If an Israelite wanted to offend you, they'd call you a Samaritan. It's pretty harsh. So Jesus picks an absolutely not my neighbour to be the star of this story. So for those of you who are drawing our characters, I wonder, what sort of facial expression do you think you'll give the Samaritan? It says in the story, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. So the Greek word for that sort of means to be moved in his inner parts. What's his internal dialogue? Oh, hey, he needs help. He needs help. What have I got? What have I? Shirt, bandages. What else? Yep. Right. He's compelled to act. He provides life-giving first aid then and there, disinfecting the wounds with wine and soothing them with oil. And then he bandages up and stops that bleeding. Then he lifts the probably unconscious or semi-unconscious guy onto his own donkey and takes the position of a servant, leading him all the way down the road to a place of rest and safety in an inn. And he keeps on going. He stays there overnight in those critical hours, waiting till he's in a safe and stable condition. And then he goes to the innkeeper and says, look, here's your money. Take this and look after him until he's better. 2 silver coins was about 3 weeks' worth of food for one person. It's a sizable amount of money. Plus, he goes, if it goes more than that, I'll come back and I'll reimburse you. You won't be out of pocket. That is a comprehensive act of kindness. What Jesus is saying to his audience is pretty clear in this parable, isn't it? Love requires giving of ourselves to another in need. We can't say, I love you, unless we're willing to help in spite of the cost. The Samaritan risked his life to fulfill the command of God to love his neighbour. And Jesus is clear about this too. There are no boundaries to the term neighbour. No race, no religion, no political stance, no lifestyle choices, no unkind actions that can make someone a not my neighbour. A neighbour is whoever we happen to meet on this road in life. A neighbour is whoever is right in front of us. And it's not just having compassion on those physical needs either. You know, we sort of think, oh, we have to help the poor and help the sick. Sometimes that's the easier one. Kids, I wonder, what about the bully at school? Adults, what about the bully in the workplace? What about that cranky and bitter person, you know, that teacher, that colleague, that relative, that crazy man down the street? Do we ache with compassion for their brokenness? Do we look past the exterior and see the hurts and the wounds that are festering? Do we really love them how they need to be loved? The kind Samaritan reached into his saddlebags and gave of what he had. What do you have to offer? God has given each of us skills and abilities and gifts and resources to use. What are yours? Maybe it is financial. For those of us who have money, are we really being generous with it when we come across someone who will need it? Maybe it's simple, like a kind word and a smile that actually shows your heart's response to them. Maybe it's time, stopping your day to have a cuppa with someone, really, really, truly listening to how they're going. Maybe it's more time than that. Maybe it's being a faithful friend over many years, even when that friend is not being very lovable. It's really interesting. This morning, I actually had a phone call at 9:30 as I'm trying to herd the kids into the car to get to church to preach. And the number comes up, and you've all done that. The caller ID, that number. And it was my friend calling up, needing to be heard. And she was in pain. And I going, should I take the call? Should I say, sorry, Beth, on the way to church? But I went, no. With this story of the Good Samaritan ringing in my mind, no. She needs to be heard. And so I listened to her. And then I actually asked if I could pray for her. She said yes. It's a bit of a nominal Catholic background, but she was really blessed. God actually used me this morning to bless someone. And I almost missed it because on my way to do holy work. And about prayer, I hear sometimes people say, oh, look, I can't do much. All I can do is pray. No, don't give me that rot. All you can do is pray. True intercession and faithful prayer is a truckload of powerful. In the darkest times in the last few years with Leon and I, like Leon's debilitating back pain and all that happens around that, I've had a couple of faithful friends who regularly come and sit with me and hear me out and love me and listen to and cry with me for all the hardness and disappointments of this season. And then they lift me up and carry me in prayer. And it has made all the difference. What a resource, hey? What a resource you have to give. So what do you think? Which characters do you feel that you might identify with? Maybe you're feeling a little bit of discomfort about this parable and what it might mean for your everyday life. That's good. Sit with that. Ask Jesus what he wants to say to you about this. But there's a caveat here. The thing is, I don't want you to go away from today going, right, okay, I have been too much like the Levite and the priest, and I need to be more like the Good Samaritan. Not this. I need to love more, and I need to be more compassionate. I just need to get my act together and try harder. No. From a recovering, try hard, this is not what you should do. Really, could we ever really love God with all that we are by trying harder and knuckling down? We can't. So what is the how? How on earth do we do this? And I think the how of putting this parable into practice actually comes from looking at the author of the parable, Jesus. Let's be honest, he is the only human who has fully been able to love the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, mind and strength, and love every single person in front of him as himself. He is our example of the perfect good neighbour. And he not only loved while he was physically here on earth, he continues to have compassion for each one of us. He finds us in our sore and sorry state, and he binds up our hurts and our wounds. When we're completely stuck and immobilized in our own sin, the sin and brokenness of this world. He's our beautiful healer, isn't he, our Jesus? And he spared nothing into what it took to bring us back to fullness of life that we were created to have. So he's both our example and our momentum. The fact that we have any capacity or ability to truly love God or anyone else around us is in response to being so deeply and wholly and generously loved by God through Jesus. Our keeping this ultimate commandment is only possible through him. We've talked and sung about it all morning, haven't we? We are utterly and totally loved. We have been given everything by him. We're not to be busy little do-gooders, frantically going around trying to put out spot fires and helping people where we can. We're to remember that we are people who have been given life and care and love. And when we remember that is how we experience that gut response. That gut response of compassion to those that we see in need in front of us, regardless of their condition or their status. It's this heart's cry of recognition and identification of that common condition that we all as humans have been in or are in. And so, Jesus, our perfect neighbour, asks us to journey with him, to walk along the road of life caring for those in need. He wants us to join us in his work of healing and restoration, of generosity and hope. And the more we walk with him, the more his compassion for those in need becomes our heart's compassion for those in need. So go on. Go home and open up your saddle pack. What's in there? And have fresh eyes as we walk with Jesus in every part of your life. And as Jesus responded to the law expert when he rattled off that greatest commandment, do this and you'll live, truly live, and not just in eternity, but now, in the here and now in this life. Do this and you'll live. Let's pray. Jesus, we're so thankful that you have been the perfect example. We're so thankful that you succeeded where we just keep on failing. We're so thankful that you didn't leave us where we were, scrambling in the mud and the muck with our hurts. But you are our healer. And because we've been there, we can be there for others. Thank you for everything you've given us in this life, and we ask that you'll just give us fresh eyes and fresh action to be just like you and to love those who we come across. Thank you so much. Amen.